So good morning everybody and welcome to the Pure Awareness Retreat here at Dhanakosha. Now we can launch ourselves into our retreat. I'd like to start off by, actually this is a very important few minutes. This really sets the tone, sets the spirit for the week, so that we can all take benefit of the collective practice that we're all going to be a part of, that we're not just going to take from, but we're also going to help create. This is what I call the real definition of Sangha, Sangha where we really support each other, that allows us to open ourselves up to ourselves and hopefully go where we've never been before. And this really becomes possible when we have that feeling of being supported around us. When we're practicing on our own, for sure we do our best, but I think most of us would agree that, you know, we really do have limitations. But when we're in an environment like this, really to me the whole point really of a collective practice like this is to be able to open up just that little bit more, and to be able to, in a sense, to challenge our limitations. We all feel that we can we can do so much and go so far, and we consider those to be our limitations. Well, personally, I don't think actually any of us have got limitations. I think these are all most definitely mind-made, and I think in an environment like this we have the opportunity to test those perceived limitations, whether it be just our ability to sit the number of periods that we have during a day, which is obviously far more than we would normally engage in, and to really test our restlessness, for example, our sort of inability to keep still and wanting to shift around, and which when we're on our own we give into that so easily, but take the opportunity to really see what your limitations are, that if it is possible to rather than, for example, shift around, change posture, is it possible just to go that little bit further? I believe it is. I believe this is the environment where we can really take ourselves to the edge, both mentally, physically and emotionally, take ourselves to the edge and put ourselves on the edge, because we're going to get that feeling of support, like a life jacket, support the energy and the commitment of everybody on the retreat. And I think that way, come next Friday when we finished, we can all look back on the week that we spent together and really feel satisfied that we really have done, we've really put ourselves as best we can into the retreat, not held back, not sought and abided in the comfort zone that I'm sure most of us have tasted occasionally. In order to create that environment, it will take all of us to create it. This isn't something I can create. I'll have my input, but don't sort of rely on me, because I'm perceived to be the one up front, that I'm going to carry you all, or carry some of you. I'm actually not here to carry anybody. I'm here to encourage people to carry themselves. And it takes all of us to put in, to create that structure, to create that support, to create that sangha. All of us needs to contribute. And in the great Bodhisattva spirit, we are helping each other. But paradoxically, we're actually also helping ourselves. Of course, we all come here for personal reasons, for selfish reasons, if you like, that we're actually all here to put ourselves in that process of change. This is what motivates us to make the journey up here and put ourselves into this into this situation. So obviously, and quite naturally, and it's perfectly all right, paradoxically, there's a lot of self-interest. But paradoxically also, that to really create the environment that we can create, we must also sit for others. And you'll find that actually, again paradoxically if you like, that when we really do develop that spirit of actually sitting for others, supporting others, helping others, our own practice becomes so much lighter. When it's just for me, it really becomes quite heavy and becomes quite troublesome and can become quite complicated when I'm doing it for me, when I want to retain all my little foibles, my little ways of looking after myself, and those little areas where I can just sort of cruise along. This can be quite complicated and quite difficult, and I think it actually becomes a burden. And the more that we can actually sit for others rather than sit for ourselves, it actually, the whole practice becomes so much lighter and so much more joyful too when we know that we're helping each other. So I'd like that to be very much at the forefront of the commitment over this week. And it is a spirit, it is an emotional commitment, if you like. This is not some sort of I'm not giving you some sort of formula. This will come from your heart and your willingness to enter the spirit of the Dharma. What will help us to create that form? There are two things. One is the schedule, and the other is the silence. The schedule, now, if we just come here to think of ourselves and to look after ourselves, we can become quite sloppy quite easily. We can turn up late or not bother to come or leave early or, you know, all of these things where, because you don't feel like it, basically. You've had enough and you want to chill out for a while. But the way that, and if we all do that, if several of us do that, then the thing just becomes rather pointless in the sense that it's a collective practice. It's rather pointless. We might as well just go into one of the cooties and just do our own thing. So by abiding by the schedule, it really helps to create, in a visual sense, that supportive framework that will help to support all of us. And the way that we do that is to really abide by the schedule, which means that when the next thing to do, like now, arriving here on time for the morning sit, we are here and we are hopefully, you know, don't be put out by coming and sitting on your cushion 5 minutes before we're due to start. That's much better to do that, both for yourself and for others, rather than come in with 3 seconds to spare, huffing and puffing, and spending the next several minutes trying to settle yourself. Now that actually doesn't help those around you at all, and it certainly also, of course, doesn't help you. So just that discipline of okay, we're sitting in 10 minutes' time, I'll go and sit on my cushion in 5 minutes' time. That way, we're all nicely settled, and when the bell rings, we can all just slip into our meditation. That's an example that willingness to help each other, and to stick to the schedule throughout the day, whatever it may be, and that includes the meals, obviously, and you know. And there are two, the schedule's in two places. There's a sheet outside this door, and there's one in the dining area. So if you could memorise as best you can and refresh yourself often, what the next thing is to do is an enormous help in helping the machinery, as it were, to run smoothly. The other feature which is also important. We've all, especially those of us who are involved in the FWBO, we've got a lot of sort of freedom, choices, options when we come into the shrine room and how we conduct ourselves in the shrine room. It's basically whatever you feel like, actually, that is okay. Well, as an experiment, and this is all a challenge, if you like, to me, to this person that likes to be in control, that likes to set things up the way that I want them, the way that I think things should be done. If we can suspend those as part of the practice for the next week, and actually all have a common way, the same way of the etiquette in the shrine room. So again, we don't create distractions, and it's not a, you know, I'm going to do it my way, look at me everybody, I bow different than you, which can often be the case. But to unify this aspect of the retreat, again, it helps to create that sense of oneness, that sense of togetherness. And also, it's a challenge to that fellow that wants to do it my way. And bowing actually is a very important part of this, well, I think of all Dharma, all spiritual practices, but this is actually very, very important with the type of practice that we're going to engage ourselves with over the next few days. We can talk about it later if somebody wishes to. I'll probably bring it up anyway. Is the act of bowing. There can be several ways of doing this, but if we could unify ourselves so that we all act the same when we're in this environment, and if it's, I know some people, this is a very hot area, especially for Western people, of bowing the head, and many Westerners actually rationalise, actually, this is quite superfluous to spiritual practice. Well, I think that's something that I could certainly challenge. I think it's actually the most important act that we can perform in a dharmic practice, in a spiritual practice, if we know why we're bowing our heads, rather than just some ritualistic thing, as many people seem to think that it is. It is actually the most direct and the most profound gateway to our Buddha nature, our true nature. This helps us create a relationship with what we are actually aspiring to anyway, and it's something that we can learn to cultivate and see the value. It's actually something deeply profound if we engage with it in the correct way. So if anybody has difficulty with bowing, by all means bring it up later and we can talk about it. But the way that I would like everybody, please, to bow to when we come into the shrine room, and also when we leave at the end of a session, to bow in the traditional way. It's the three bows, three of them like this, which everybody is familiar with. It's a traditional way of, one of the traditional ways of bowing. So when we come in, if we salute the shrine, it's completely informal, so you can do it on your cushion, you can do it on the floor. And don't worry if other people are bowing, because if we all wait for each other, we'd be here all day. Just informally, if we could engage in that bowing, and like I said, I'm quite happy to talk about it later if you feel that it's a waste of time. And also, at the end, when we finish the session, when we leave the shrine room, so when we come in and when we leave. Now, if we can do that, this is a very much a visual way that we are helping to create that spirit of oneness. We're actually leaving our own little ways of doing things. We're leaving all of that, those things at the front gate, and we'll pick them up on our way out on Friday. It's a wonderful way of reflecting. It's a wonderful way of seeing our resistances. I don't want to do this. It's very much food for the practice over the coming week. So if we can do that, Please. And also, when we chant, we'll be doing a little puja in a moment. If we could all kneel, rather than just slop around as often as happen, so that we're creating that sense of oneness and that sense of commitment. Again, if it's a difficulty for some people, well then look at your resistance. That's what we're here for. We're here to look at why we can't flow with circumstances, why we have to resist, why we have to manipulate and to take charge of things. Just go with it. The form is being offered. It's comprehensive. There's nothing for anybody to think about. Just follow what is in front of you. And this is very much the spirit of Dharma practice, and very much the spirit of this retreat. The other feature is also something deeply profound, and that's silence. Not for nothing is silence an important tool, again, in all spiritual practices, Buddhist or otherwise. Silence obviously has one very obvious advantage, is that we don't disturb each other. We don't have to listen to other people wittering away somewhere or mumbling and murmuring away to their friend. That's the obvious advantage, so we don't actually disturb each other in that sense. The other value is that we can learn to use silence as a very skillful way, again, of getting to know ourselves. And I like to liken it to putting a mirror up in front of ourselves. You know, a mirror doesn't talk, doesn't have an opinion. A mirror just merely reflects what it sees. And this is the great value of silence, that we can actually see ourselves. It's like a mirror. When we talk, we can lose ourselves, as we all know. This is why we talk most of the time, because we can't actually be with ourselves. So we chatter in order to divert away from something that we can often have difficulty staying with. And to use the silence as a mirror, as to help, as a tool that we can use over this coming week together, of actually just seeing ourselves, not in an opinionated way, like a mirror, just reflect, just to know. There's nothing more to do. As we will discover over this time together, this is very much the spirit of the non-doing of pure awareness. It's just to know, just to see and to know. That's all we need to do. And in that knowing, things change. So use silence as a mirror. And you know, some of us find it incredibly difficult just to be silent. I mean, some of us love it. Some of us actually find it incredibly difficult. And if you're one of those that finds it difficult, just look at yourself and discover why. You don't have to get into dialogue with yourself. You don't have to start beating yourself up, as could often happen in these sorts of situations. Just look and just know and just learn. You begin to understand yourself. You begin to learn about yourself. Because Dharma is a process of understanding yourself. That's all. There isn't anything beyond that. And so use that silence as a very profound tool in our quest to understand ourselves. So that's all I wanted to say. I think this is really, to me, this is the most important moment of the retreat, is to put this in place, and I hope everybody will enter the spirit. And if we do, I'm sure at the week's end we will all be able to look back and feel that it's really been worthwhile. And we've really got to understand ourselves just that little bit more. And as I say, that's not going to be possible unless all of us are prepared to help each other. Okay, we'll still have our two scheduled sits. They have to be slightly chopped because I've taken a piece out. So we can now do the refuges and precepts together. Again, everything, all of our puja, all of our chanting is always in unison. So I will just utter the first words and then we can all join in the normal way. Everything should be familiar apart from the Heart Sutra, which we'll do this evening, which should be something new for most people. But it is a wonderful translation of that great sutra, so we'll get to that this evening. So I'll go back to my seat, and if we could all kneel, we'll do the perform the puja, and then we'll do a period of meditation, and then there's the walking meditation that will come. Now this is informal. We'll leave the shrine room, and you can go to a good idea to find your own spot where you feel comfortable with, and whether you walk fast or whether you walk slow, it's really this is your one piece of freedom over the next week, is that you can choose your own pace. It's good to find a spot, and you develop a relationship with that spot over the days, rather than just jumping around here and there. That's another little skillful thing that's useful. And then I will ring the bell, and if you come back nice and quickly, not at the snail pace that you're walking up and down at the particular time, but come back so that we can all get on with the next period.